everyone. This is UCL Careers Podcast, Future Talk. And my name is Amy Lorenko, Senior Careers Consultant at UCL. On this podcast, which is powered by UCL Minds, we will be talking with professionals in different sectors about their career journeys and insights in relation to employability topics. This series is packed with guests who are changemakers and innovators in their respective industries and was created by the Engineering Careers Team to help our students and graduates find out more about various professional experiences. Each episode will have a guest who will share their professional insights and provide valuable information relating to careers. The episodes will be available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud on a weekly basis. On today's episode, I'm so pleased to be able to introduce our guest, John Manville. John is a UCL electronic and electrical engineering alumni who has worked across different industries such as communication, finance, and technology, with his most recent role being Senior Vice President of the IT Global Infrastructure Services team at Cisco. We are so pleased to have him join us today to share his valuable insights and experience. Welcome to the podcast, John, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here and thank you for inviting me.
Fantastic. Really excited to talk to you today. Our first question, if we get right into it, is you studied electronic and electrical engineering at UCL from 1977 to 1980. And then you went to work for a communications company in Manhattan after working in London for a couple of years first. So what helped inform your choice to begin your career in America? And how did you find that transition from an academic environment to a professional work environment?
So to answer that, the specific question, I didn't have a clue actually how companies worked when I left university. It was, I'd worked in a couple of internships, but not really got into technology companies or anything to do with IT. So to be honest with you, I didn't really understand that. So the first company that I joined after I left UCL was a company called KM Wireless in Holborn Square and in the middle of London. And that was a great company. I joined them because they gave me a 6-month training course and they paid pretty well. So obviously that's an incentive. The reason why I left them was because I felt that I was in a bit of a rut there. After a couple of years or so, I wasn't learning as much as I wanted to. And so I managed to get through an H-1B visa, a job in New York City.
Amazing. And how is that visa to get? Because I understand it's quite difficult to sort of work in America. Was that the case back then? And is it still the case now?
I think you have to have a degree from a university in the UK, which I had. I had to find out what a notary public was, because I had to have, which is an American lawyer type thing, that had to sign, yes, he's a valid person. And then I think there is a cap of about 100,000 or so H-1B visas, but I was lucky enough to get one of those and I managed to come to New York. Obviously, I can tell you that I only meant to come for 2 years, but that was, as you very kindly said, what year I graduated in, Amy. You can tell that was quite a long time ago.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to highlight that. Oh, so are you still living in New York now?
No. So I stayed at that, again, pretty small company. It was called FTCC, I was working about one block from Wall Street. So it was right in the middle of downtown. And again, after a couple of years, maybe this is something that I'd like to pass on. I really believe that the people, the company, and specifically the manager you work for, especially when you're early in your career, yes, you owe the company to give your best effort to be, you know, really a great employee, but also they owe you as well the growth and different types of projects to work on and to keep you interested. And so after a couple of years, I wasn't getting that from this company. So I decided to apply for some other jobs, transfer my H-1B to a different company. And I ended up working for a company, again, in their IT department, which was in the financial services company area, which was called Bankers Trust. And eventually Bankers Trust got bought by Deutsche Bank, but I stayed there for a long time, 13 years, I think.
Fabulous. And I guess from there, you eventually made your way to Cisco.
So, okay, let me tell you how that happened. So I would like to add, actually, that while I was at Bankers Trust, I did something called an executive MBA. And I found that, maybe other people don't need this, but I found that really valuable as I became a manager and had to work with budgets and things like that. And I believe that many, many decisions you make in even in technology companies have some financial implication. I found that degree very, very valuable. And so I personally found that, you know, being technical, or reasonably technical, of course, my children now say I'm not technical, but technical, and then having a sort of finance and management degree as well was a great sweet spot for me. Anyway, I stayed at Bankers Trust until, again, after 13 years, I was promoted various places. Until I found that I wasn't growing, I wasn't getting the type of work that I was really interested in, although I was working with some great people. And I left there and joined another financial services company called Lehman Brothers, again in right in the heart of downtown Manhattan. And you may have heard of them, but they were one of the companies that obviously caused a lot of issues in the around 2007, 2008. Luckily, I left them before that because I wanted to, again, I felt as though I wanted to work for a company that I felt was trying to do good in the world. And I sent my resume into the president of Cisco, who I met through some various user group meetings, and eventually I got a job, great job at Cisco. And I think they did try to do a lot of good in the world. And are still trying to. How about that?
Fantastic. So how fortuitous that you left Lehman before the big crash.
It was, wasn't it? A lot of my friends didn't, unfortunately, but they all managed to find, you know, good roles and everything.
That's good. Good to hear. And so it sounds like the MBA really accelerated your career, would you say?
I think it definitely helped. Actually, definitely helped. I think especially at Cisco, I became responsible for quite a large budget of $800 or million dollars or so. And managing that and deciding what the priorities are, given where Cisco wanted to go and where technology was going, and all the different aspects of managing that, I found it really useful to have at least some background in finance. Not that I'm the expert in any way, but at least I could talk to the people who are in the finance team. How about that?
Absolutely. So as well as that sort of financial knowledge and the management skills that you gained from the MBA, would you say there are any other skills or knowledge in particular that you gained through your studies, whether that be at UCL or later during the MBA, that you were able to sort of transfer to the different roles you had during your career?
Well, I did manage to get into UCL, which I'm very grateful to the people who let me attend and graduate. And I think I definitely learned a whole load of things that X25, for example, which is a forerunner of IP, TCP/IP. I was lucky enough to be taught by Peter Kirstein, who I think so that specific class was a great class, and it helped me get into the roles in Manhattan and to Bankers Trust as well. What I'd like to say is that I think a piece of advice somebody gave me when I was really starting out was, when you're starting out, try and become an expert in some aspect of whatever role you're working in. I tried to do that, and it was around X25, which is a communications protocol. Back then, it was one of the few around. I think that, not that you'll use that for the rest of your career, but it does sort of get you noticed a little bit, and this person here really knows what they're talking about in this area, and I think that at least gets your name known. I also think that part of what the UCL engineering department, I think maybe their mission is to change the world, which I think is obviously a great thing. I'd also say taking the opportunity to take opportunities. You know, when I didn't really plan my career out at all. Various times I got bored, so I thought I have to do something new. Maybe my manager wasn't giving me the right direction. And I felt that, at some point you have to decide, hey, I need to still be interested in what I'm doing. Not that every second of every job is going to be fun and interesting. Obviously, it's not. But when whatever the balance is for you gets slightly out of whack between mundane work and interesting work, I think, well, at least in my case, I decided to make a move.
That's such great advice. And I love what you said there about kind of finding your area of specialism, your sort of niche being that sort of go-to person for that particular area. I think that's such great advice to really sort of make yourself stand out in the business.
Yes.
Fantastic. So you've had a career sort of spanning North America and Europe. What have you seen as being some of the benefits that you found to working with such a global team?
I personally really love working with a global team. You get different perspectives, especially if you go and visit the people and talk to them about what issues they're seeing, what maybe, in India, maybe there's different issues than there are than North America, or maybe in Belgium, there's different issues than there are in the UK sometimes. And so I found it really interesting. I think the companies I worked for got benefits from having global teams, and also the staff did, because the people in Belgium, as an example, or in India, they were working on global projects as opposed to just doing something just that was inside their country or their region. They had this impact that was global, and that, even though there are issues with time zones, I regularly ask these people in different time zones, would you rather just have regional roles so you wouldn't have to stay up late or get up early? And every single time they said no, they'd rather have a global impact and be involved in global projects. So I'm a wholehearted supporter of global roles, global teams, as long as you specifically take notice of local issues as well when you're designing whatever the technology is for the global team.
Fantastic. And you mentioned there, it's always great when you can go and see people in the globe, which of course we've not been able to recently. And so what challenges have you sort of encountered professionally due to sort of COVID-19 and in your sort of previous role at Cisco?
So I, as you said, I left Cisco just before COVID, but I've stayed in touch with the people there. And video, in the case of Cisco and many other companies, WebEx is used a lot. We're using Zoom now, so video conferencing is a big deal. It's helped us stay in touch with people. Personally, I think there's going to be a real choice about how people work. I think, the people who are remote are still going to have to make an extra effort to stay relevant, stay in touch with people, stay connected. It's not fair. I agree that, but I think still, even if you come in the office 2 or 3 days in a week, that extra time of being seen there and being able to speak and connect with people, I think is really important. And if I was still working at Cisco, I would go back to 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Two or three, four days a week in the office. I think.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it all pans out and this new ways of working. But yeah, definitely important to keep connected and see your colleagues. And I know I'm missing all my colleagues, having not seen them for like over a year.
Yes, there you are.
Crazy. So my next question is about sort of the internship program that you pioneered. This was the Cisco International Internship Program, an exclusive program that was offered to select universities. How important was it for you to provide future engineers with these opportunities to gain industry insights?
So one of your first questions was about, you know, how did I know what a working environment was like when I left UCL? And the answer was no, I had no clue. What this internship gave to these students, they were between their second and third year, they came and spent a year at Cisco. It gave them, we threw them into exactly what they would be working on if they were a full-time, you know, permanent employee. And so they really got to see how a large company works, how you have to act, what type of trade-offs there are, what type of work there is. And so I think it was, I think it's really, really valuable to those people. Having said that, I got, and Cisco obviously got a load of benefits from having them. I personally did, because these students, most were very good, some were unbelievable, and they, I'm really positive about the future because of how good some of these students were. They took initiative. One of them went and gave a TED talk back in Morocco. Other ones won local hackathons here in Palo Alto, as an example. Many of them did really important things. I'd also like to call out one of their professors who was a liaison with them, who I think he also had a big role in their lives, and he pushed for this internship as well, which is Izzat. I don't know if you know Izzat, but he is a big proponent of this, and I think without him, this wouldn't have happened.
Amazing. Oh, all credit to him as well then. And it sounds like it was really beneficial.
I think it was fantastic. Beneficial on both sides, yes.
Great. So what do you think students and recent graduates can be doing now at a time where the job market is so challenging?
So I can only talk to the area that I'm in here, physical area, which is around sort of San Francisco, Silicon Valley. And for the types of roles that engineering students from UCL would be looking for, people are still crying out for them. I know many young engineers who are having many job offers. I know managers who can't find qualified people. So personally, I think although COVID has obviously had a devastating impact on many people, I think engineering students are one of the areas that will be least impacted. And anyway, that's it.
Well, that is positive news. So what is it that the managers are really struggling to find? What are sort of the key skills that are really necessary to succeed in the technology industry? What are they crying out for specifically?
There, I would say things like, yes, you know, anybody who graduates from UCL engineering degree is going to be smart. So let's assume they're smart. They have to be easy to work with. They have to be, this is going to sound a little bit, you know, why should this be one of the things? But they have to be reasonably fun to be around as well, not you know, have a personality. Especially new graduates, they aren't going to know everything about the job that they're going to go into. They probably, you know, so it's not as though what you know now about a specific job, it's, you know, do you have the basic capability of being smart and learning things and being in a technical environment, but also what's your aptitude? Are you going to, you know, take advice, feedback from people? Most of the, I'd say almost all the graduates that I was involved in from UCL fitted that. There were a couple who did not. They had issues around attitude and various things like that, but almost all of them were really good. I will say that I think it is important to be pragmatic about in your career, that there are going to be setbacks, even for, you know, star performers. There are going to be sometimes setbacks, so be pragmatic about it. Don't take something that, you know, doesn't always go your way as being devastating. You're good enough to get over it, and most of the time, you're going to be wildly successful.
That whole piece about being resilient as well.
Yeah, I suppose that's a much better way of putting it. Thanks, Amy.
No worries. Absolutely. No, that's really great advice. Thank you so much, John. Would there be any other final tips that you would give to our students who are kind of looking to start their careers in 2021 and beyond?
I think you have an amazing opportunity. There are so many issues, technology issues to solve and work on. I want my car to drive myself. I want to be, you know, make sure that nobody is able to, from a security point of view, break into it and other things in my house. There's so many areas that still have to be solved, and it's a wonderful opportunity to be a UCL engineering graduate, be entering the workforce.
What a fantastic note to end on. Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate you offering all your advice and tips today. And big thank you to our audience for listening to this episode. Keep an eye out for more episodes, which will be released weekly on audio platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud. Thank you, John. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much, Amy.